20th episode of Frequency Resonance Radio. Today is Saturday, the 14th of January, 2017, EV. Currently it is 11:07 Eastern Standard Time. Greetings to everyone who just discovered this show from BitChute, Ray Vahi's new decentralized video platform. I would like to No, I wouldn't, because that is another episode scheduled for later. Rescheduled for later. I have had to postpone the cultural fascism episode, as a matter of fact. So this week has been an amazing week for the alternative media. And by that, I mean it has also been a terrible week for the mainstream media, those lying bastards, those hypocrites, those traitors to truth and decency and every principle of journalism. Oh man, you should have seen Glenn Greenwald on CNN, I think, was it? Explaining, no, he was on I don't remember. But he had to explain basic journalism, Journalism 101, to one of these reporters, one of these anchors or hosts or whatever you want to call them. This alleged dossier had all this info on Trump. Allegedly. All from anonymous sources. They couldn't name them because that would be detrimental to the source's well-being. And I can understand not wanting to reveal the source because that could be damaging to their well-being, but at the same time, pay attention to the claims that are being made in this. Business connections with Russia, connections to Russian government officials in Prague, one of his assistants, who's, I think maybe aiding him in the transition. Maybe, I think. Is that right? I think that's right. And the two funniest aspects. Number one, a bout of urolagnia, where allegedly Trump specifically rented a hotel room in Moscow where the Obamas had stayed. I think this is the story from what I read. It was a couple days ago, so I don't remember it clearly enough, maybe. But this alleged place, this alleged room where the Obamas had allegedly stayed, and he apparently rented this one in specific for his own little nefarious purposes, which were hiring prostitutes to pee on each other on Obama's previous bed so that he could watch and enjoy himself. And that's not even the funniest part that really damages it. I mean, sure, political leaders have been accused of, like, and sure, Trump's infidelity is, like, well known. Well, not necessarily infidelity, but, like, his propensity for divorce and remarriage and whatnot. And whatnot, you know. But, you know, a lot of political people, a lot of business people have their own little perversions, their own little paraphilias, fetishes that they like to do. I'm not judging anyone. I have my own. I'm not going to disclose them right now for anybody. Thank you very much. But the kicker in all this was when they had the line in this dossier, this is all true apparently, that Trump walked around and said, I call my poops Obama because he's shit and he's black. Yeah, that's what they actually claim in this dossier. This is an actual thing that the intelligence community is saying is what they have, at the very least. You know, they haven't, like, come right out and said, yep, it's true, we verified it 100%, because they can't do that. It's just impossible. And it's only, like, a preliminary thing. And the intelligence community has not entirely verified it, and it wasn't even produced by the intelligence community themselves. Guess who discovered it? BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, yes, that's right. The website most known for producing such magnificent hits as 19 Things Only 90s Kids Will Remember. And 12 Times That You Realized That You Were Being So Gay, or I don't know. I'm sure those lists exist on BuzzFeed somewhere in some form. Possibly with some other number attached. But it's just... it is a garbage tabloid targeted at millennials. What's his name? I'm looking for his name in my head. Brilliant guy, Maddox. Maddox, you know, the best page in the universe. He did his own brilliant takedown of BuzzFeed, calling them cancer, which they are. And it turns out that BuzzFeed, pardon me, like they so often do, in this, got trolled by 4chan. Maybe. I mean, I saw something from Ian Miles Chung's Twitter feed. He's a contributor to Heat Street. Let's see what he has to say. I'm not entirely sure whether it's 4chan or somebody else, but, you know, there are a lot of things that are possible, and he tweeted, Ian Miles Chung tweeted, at Still Gray, that's his Twitter name, no, 4chan didn't make the Trump dossier, a retired British intelligence agent named Christopher Steele did. The irony is that he's writing for Heat Street, which is a pretty anti-Russian publication. Just look at how crazy Louise Mensch gets whenever anybody mentions Russia. Alright, come on. And this site is owned by Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch! And it's hosting liberals and conservatives. Oh, wait, no, he didn't do this himself. He did, he tweeted it from, Wall Street Journal. You know, they do have these little, you know, back page stories that offer the real truth, and the big newspapers like Washington Post, Wall Street Journals, New York Times, etc. But you have to look for them in the back pages, because they know that you're going to really only want to read the front page, and it's going to be with a bunch of boring other stories deliberately. And it's only going to be a couple of words. But here's the story. It's this guy, apparently named Christopher Steele, who used to be an MI6, I think, officer. He's said to have prepared the dossier. He's the director of a private company, Orbis Intelligence Limited. London-based. Former British spy, sort of like a James Bond or something. And no text is appearing on my screen other than the title. So I'm assuming that... I don't know. All I know is that either way, it's either an ex-intelligence guy who trolled BuzzFeed, or 4chan who trolled BuzzFeed. But either way, the fact is, BuzzFeed got trolled. And then CNN picked it up from BuzzFeed. CNN, the largest cable news service, picked up a story from BuzzFeed, whose biggest real-world impact outside of this dossier has been getting a show on Adult Swim canceled because of its alleged alt-right ties. And I mean, of course, the alt-right loved the show. I can't... The Twitter account of the Sam Hyde, the guy who did the show, Million Dollar Extreme Presents World Peace. His Twitter feed, Night of Fire, reads like any normal Twitter feed. My friend, my sort of acquaintance, confidant, Emily Yukis, now involved in the alt-right. She did the, she does the brilliant Alfred Alfred animations. Sick, depraved, vile, horrific, horrendous, terrifying, will haunt you in your nightmares, but brilliant. And eerily beautiful and disgustingly beautiful in a way. She does those animations. She's involved with the alt-right now. What can I say? Even though one of her friends is Lloyd Kaufman, and she still maintains a sort of, kind of positive acquaintanceship with me. And then, you know, she follows him. So, Joseph Bernstein got the show pulled, essentially, because, you know, Adult Swim actually stated, no, we wanted to continue producing this show. I'm not sure how extreme the people in Million Dollar Extreme actually are. And their work can actually be interpreted a variety of ways. Including as... It doesn't necessarily have to be interpreted explicitly as a right-wing critique. It can be a critique of modernity or post-modernity in general. I mean, just look at their sketch on the tap water in Flint, Michigan. They did a sketch on that on World Peace. I saw the entire series. It was brilliant. It was great. I loved it. Encourage you to see it if you haven't. Weird, sick, deranged, anti-comedy, but it's brilliant. But that was their biggest impact. Funny thing, Sam Hyde actually lives around me in the general area. Just found that out literally last month. Last year, as a matter of fact, last month. But, you know, I digress. That was BuzzFeed's biggest impact on actual real-world political events prior to this dossier. And then that led to a spectacular moment in Donald Trump's press conference, in which he said to CNN, no, 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 not you, not you, I'm not talking to you, you're fake news, you're fake news, you're fake news. I hope I'm getting that, like, butt mouth thing that he has going on, right? The butt lips. You know? Whatever he's doing. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not seeing it. But if you're watching it on YouTube or BitChute, once again, thanks, Ray Vahi, then you'll be able to see it. But what can I say else? Alright, so... a quick glance at the headlines at RT does reveal one good thing, one funny thing, and a bunch of unfortunate things. So let's see, what's order the headlines right now. Oh god, a magnitude earthquake hit Indonesia. Ooh! Air raid targeting Daesh hit, apparently killed 30 in Mosul. I hope they were all Daesh. Okay, so, good thing. Trump opened ending sanctions on Russia and ending the one China policy. So he's going to be doing business with both People's Republic of China, that is mainland China, and Republic of China, that is Taiwan. I'm glad that he's ending sanctions on Russia, but at the same time, I'm not entirely sure how well the two China's policy idea might go. How many days away from the inauguration? We're only 7 days. We're only literally a week away from the inauguration. Trump putting his hand on the Bible. I solemnly swear. Oh my god. That is just crazy. Funny story. Finnair flight 666 to hell, Sinky, landed safely on Friday the 13th. For those of you who cannot see, that was a metal sign. That is super metal. Syrian army fends off Daesh offensive. Awesome. Okay, oh god. Turkish MPs approved two constitutional amendments to enhance president's powers. UN calls on European countries to protect refugees from freezing to death and abuse. Oh my god. Yeah, you know, one of the things that you need to know about the refugee crisis is that people who blame the refugees for the problems are not being fair. There are people who are mixed in who are not refugees. There are people who are actually Asian provocateurs, actually. And there are some just genuine criminal elements within the population. One of the problems is that the Syrians, who end up usually meshing pretty well with European society, are mixed in with the Afghans, who often don't mesh well with European society because they're often economic migrants. Which isn't to say that they shouldn't have the same dignity, but that their status is a little less... The status of the economic migrants from Afghanistan is a little less, horrendous than the status of the actual Syrian refugees. Those people need to be taken in. The Afghan migrants need to be vetted heavily. Everybody needs to be vetted heavily, but especially the Afghan migrants, because, you know, a lot of those people are agent provocateurs. A lot of those people are just criminals themselves, and they need to be vetted to make sure that they're not causing trouble. As a matter of fact, to the refugees in the camps, in the refugee camps. That's what a lot of the trouble in the refugee camps is coming from. These economic migrants being mixed in, not being vetted. It's very tragic seeing all the abuse that happens with the refugees due to the fact that they have some of the Afghan migrants mixed in with them. And Asian provocateurs too, and sometimes even terrorists in disguise. Who knows? My hope is just that with the war ending that they can return. Soon. Oh god. a detection of a cancer-causing chemical at a Tokyo site has delayed the relocation of the world's largest fish market. Now, okay, here's what I have to say about refugees and the crisis and whatnot, and this is the Secretary General of the UN coming in has stated that he is not a fan of the way that we're handling war and whatnot these days. That is, he's Antonio Guterres, former Prime Minister of Portugal, the new Secretary General of the UN, he says, we don't want to have interventions. Interventions are horrible. We've seen this over and over again. We want to prevent the wars. We want to alleviate the causes of wars before they even start. Diplomacy. I want that. I want a return to actual humane diplomacy. And you know what? Charity work, too. A few days ago, I saw a Jordan Peterson lecture. His New Year's message to the world, in fact. And I was so moved by it that I figured a friend had given me $20. I bought a couple of things with it for myself, and then I donated the rest to this one thing, this one charity. It is amazing. I found it out. Village Enterprise. I found out about it through Peter Singer's organization, The Life You Can Save. What they do is they empower the very poor people in rural Africa to lift themselves up out of poverty through small sustainable businesses and savings groups. I wonder, effective altruism is a movement that is largely led by Jewish people, and a lot of Jewish people contribute to effective altruism. I think Peter Singer himself might be Jewish. I know that one of the places that led me to effective altruism is a blog, Slate Star Codex, run by a Jewish guy, Scott Alexander. Peter Singer is Australian, ethical philosopher, applied ethicist, and bioethicist. Best known for animal liberation, but also started he is Jewish. He's an atheist, he's a utilitarian, but he's Jewish. I don't agree with him so much about vegetarianism and whatnot, but he's Jewish. And he's a green. But you see, the thing, I agree with his preference utilitarianism, but you see, the thing is, though, that he says, not donating surplus wealth is basically equivalent to not stopping to save a drowning child. And no matter how hard you try to rationalize that, you really can't argue with that argument. So I just go along with it. I do what I can. I give what I can. There's a movement he started, giving what we can. As a matter of fact, I pledge to support a bit of that. this charity in particular is great because, and this is the point where I was getting, that I was trying to get to by mentioning how many leaders in effective altruism are Jewish. Maimonides himself said that there are 8 levels of charity, and the highest level of charity is giving exactly to a person what they need such that they are self-sufficient for the rest of their lives. They don't need to go back to aid ever again. That is the highest act of charity. So this kind of thing, this kind of effective altruism, essentially, is based on structural cause. Look at these donations that people are giving to this charity. It's beautiful. Anonymous, I gave $500. It's beautiful. I only was able to give like around $10. But please give to this charity. Please do it. One of the things I mentioned in the, like, values episode of Frequency Resonance Radio, I don't remember what episode that was, what number it was, what the title of it was, but, you know, it is partially about building sort of an ethical standard, an ethical movement, a movement of people moving away from, like, the normal ideas, the normal spectrum of thought, and this is part of it. I mean, it's popular in the rationalist community, but you know what? Effective altruism should be popular in, like, these alternative communities as well. Because this is such a great way to give that doesn't involve the big, gigantic, opaque NGOs that can be very corrupt. It doesn't involve the government. It doesn't involve, like, the IMF getting all up in that shit. It's just this charity and a lot of the other charities in the effective altruism movement grouping. It's just you give to these people what you can, and you help alleviate the roots of the suffering themselves. So, with those two thoughts in mind, we get to see the mainstream media implode, and we get to donate to better causes. I encourage you to donate to, and we also get to think independently for ourselves, as a matter of fact. We get to think independently for ourselves. Which is why our monthly meditation, as recommended by Rudolf Steiner, is, I think, it's still control of speech and thinking becomes a feeling for the truth. So thank you for listening, everyone. Hopefully this was an amazing show. Don't forget to patronize me on Patreon or donate to my donor box or my PayPal.me. And please donate to, I don't know, Charity Water or Village Enterprise. Can't stress that enough. You can also donate to me via Bitcoin or Dogecoin. Please tune in whenever I feel like making another episode, honestly. It might be tomorrow, might be Monday, I don't know. But the cultural fascism episode has been postponed until I can do some more research on Leo Strauss. And with that, thank you very much. Good night, love and light.